Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, December 5th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
Amazon's most profitable business comes under threat from U.S. regulators.
Talks of another major acquisition in luxury retail get underway in Europe.
Huawei sues the FCC in its latest fight with the U.S. government.
And Japan announces major stimulus measures to fight recession.
A deadly shooting at the Pearl Harbor Naval Shipyard, plus Elizabeth Warren speaks to Bloomberg on trade, taxes, and billionaires. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The deal is close where hedge fund billionaire Steve Cohen will become controlling owner of the Mets. Eli Manning is going to start for the Giants in Philadelphia. The Nets won in Atlanta.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Inovalon, a leading provider of cloud-based platforms empowering data-driven healthcare for insurance companies, physicians, pharmacy, and pharmaceutical companies. Inovalon, data has a story to tell. Inovalon gives it a voice.
U.S. futures edging higher this morning, 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 11 points, Dow futures up 102, NASDAQ futures up 36. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%, CAC in Paris up 0.7%, FTSE 100 down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 1.78%, yield on the 2-year 1.57%. COMEX gold is little changed at $14.79.60 an ounce. The euro, 1.1089 against the dollar, yen 108.93. And this data check brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Their margin loans start at 3.06% and decrease for larger loan values. Rates subject to change. Learn more at ibkr.com/compare. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with news on Amazon. Bloomberg News has learned U.S. antitrust enforcers are broadening their probe of the company to include scrutiny of its dominant cloud computing business. Here with the latest is Naomi Nix from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
So we've known for quite some time that the Federal Trade Commission has been looking at Amazon's businesses, specifically its retail business. What Bloomberg is exclusively reporting is that that antitrust scrutiny by the Federal Trade Commission has expanded to include its cloud services division, which makes up the majority of its operating revenue, and it's a significant and one of the strongest parts of Amazon's overall business. So this is a significant development.
Amazon is number one in cloud computing with an estimated market share as high as 48%.
We have talk of another acquisition in luxury retail. Sources tell us Kering has held exploratory talks with Moncler about a potential takeover. Kering owns Gucci, while Moncler makes high-end ski jackets. Let's get more now from Bloomberg's Brian Fowler.
So we're hearing that Kering is still at the exploratory stage, but talks are underway with Moncler. And this, of course, is Kering trying to keep pace with its larger rival, LVMH, which acquired Tiffany earlier this year. The talks continue, but Kering, of course, is going to have to win over Moncler chief Remo Ruffini, who is its biggest shareholder. So we'll have to stay tuned to see how that develops.
Shares of Moncler have gained more than 33% this year to reach a market value around $11 billion. Today, they're up another 10% in Milan.
Meanwhile, Democratic presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren is working to ban so-called mega mergers.
I believe in capitalism, but markets without rules are theft.
In an interview with Bloomberg, Warren says President Trump is destroying markets, that his actions on trade destroy America's value around the world.
I want to see trade occur, but I want to see trade occur in a way that is helpful to the American worker, that is helpful to the American consumer. I don't want to see what Donald Trump is doing. He's destroying markets. He's destroying value around the world.
Separately, Senator Warren is drafting a bill to have regulators retroactively review two decades of so-called mega mergers and ban such deals going forward.
And we have more from our interview with Senator Warren coming up. But first, a development on U.S.-China relations concerning Huawei Technologies. The Chinese company is now suing the FCC over a decision to ban federal subsidies for purchasing its equipment. Huawei's chief legal officer made the announcement today in Shenzhen.
The FCC's order violates the Constitution, and we have no choice but to seek legal remedy.
The lawsuit is the latest attempt by Huawei to fight U.S. curbs on its networking business.
In Japan today, Prime Minister Shinzo Abe announced stimulus measures to support growth in the economy. The package amounts to nearly $240 billion of stimulus spread over the coming years. Kathy Matsui is vice chair and Japan equity strategist at Goldman Sachs.
Some of the trade-related effects on exports are probably going to be somewhat mitigated. We have fiscal stimulus not just here in Japan, but elsewhere in the developed world. And we have monetary policy that's going to stay very, very lax and easy. So assuming that BOJ stays put with zero interest rates, we think that this will be enough to stave off recession.
According to a draft of the stimulus package seen by Bloomberg, it should boost growth in Japan by about 1.4 percentage points.
And that move pushed stocks in Asia higher today, with Japan leading the gains. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with the details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Japanese equities, the yen and bond yields all rose on the announcement, with the Nikkei 225 gaining 0.7%. It was risk on across much of the rest of the region, with shares climbing in Hong Kong, Shanghai and Sydney, although they fell in Seoul. Indian stock markets fluctuated while bond yields spiked after the Reserve Bank of India unexpectedly left interest rates unchanged at 5.15%, defying economist expectations for a quarter point cut. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Salih, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Juliet. Oil is holding steady after yesterday's more than 4% gain. We have fresh data showing tighter U.S. stockpiles while OPEC and its allies meet in Vienna. No word on whether they'll make additional cuts to output, but they appear ready to at least extend current cuts. Energy Aspects chief oil analyst Amrita Sen is in Vienna.
OPEC don't even need to deliver additional cuts. The crude market is incredibly tight. You can see that in differentials and backwardation. The problem is the flat price hasn't gone up. And that's to do with fears about demand and, you know, trade wars. I don't think OPEC can do very much to change that, unfortunately. It's just what is driving it.
And checking prices now, NYMEX crude ups a 0.1% or 7 cents to $58.50 a barrel. Brent is up a 0.5% or 34 cents to $63.34.
Finally, we have data out of Germany showing factory orders unexpectedly fell in October, suggesting Europe's largest economy is still struggling to overcome a manufacturing slump. Orders fell 0.4%. Estimates called for a gain of 0.4%. S&P futures are up 12 points this morning. Dow futures up 110 and NASDAQ futures up 39. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. 607 on Wall Street. Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. An active duty sailor whose submarine was docked at Pearl Harbor opened fire on three civilian employees, killing two before taking his own life. Authorities still don't know the motive behind the shooting at the Hawaii base's naval shipyard. Rear Admiral Robert Chadwick is the commander for the Navy in Hawaii.
Don't know any relationships. Obviously, in the shipyard, there's always a mixture of active duty personnel and shipyard workers.
The third civilian employee shot remains hospitalized. Democratic presidential candidate Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren wants to enact a wealth tax to pay for some of her proposed large government programs. She sat down with Bloomberg News in a wide-ranging interview, saying that a wealth tax can level the playing field.
What I care about is an economy that works not just for the billionaires and millionaires, but an economy that works for everyone.
Warren says for now the country, economy, and democracy are working great for the super wealthy.
And that's why I'm so concerned about Michael Bloomberg jumping into this race, dropping $37 million in 1 week on ad buys. I don't believe that elections ought to be for sale.
Michael Bloomberg is also seeking the Democratic presidential nomination. Bloomberg is the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP, the parent company of Bloomberg Radio. Three top legal scholars testified at a congressional House hearing that President Trump's attempts to have Ukraine investigate Democratic rivals are grounds for impeachment. Professor Pamela Carlin of Stanford University.
Contrary to what President Trump has said, Article 2 does not give him the power to do anything he wants. And I'll just give you one example that shows you the difference between him and a king, which is the Constitution says there can be no titles of nobility. So while the president can name his son Barron, he can't make him a Barron.
That brought a rebuke from Republicans for using Barron's name, including First Lady Melania Trump. The professor later apologized. A fourth expert called by Republicans warned against rushing the process. Meanwhile, Speaker Nancy Pelosi plans to make a statement on the status of the House impeachment inquiry at 9 a.m. Wall Street time. New Yorkers have one less potential transit delay to worry about. The union representing MTA workers reached a tentative contract with the city's transit provider. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. We're coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashow.
Nathan, Fred Wilpon's been part of Mets ownership since the early 1980s, first as co-owner with Nelson Doubleday. He later gained controlling interest, but apparently that is going to change. A deal is close, or over the next 5 years, hedge fund billionaire Steve Cohen, already a minority owner, will gain up to an 80% interest in the Mets. Fred Wilpon and his son Jeff will remain as CEO and COO of the team for the next 5 years. Zach Wheeler has officially left the Mets. Free agent, he signed with the Phillies. 5 years, $118 million. Speaking of Philly, when the Giants play there Monday night, Eli Manning will be the Giants' starting quarterback. Daniel Jones last Sunday was playing with what turned out to be a high ankle sprain. The ankle is now in a boot. So Eli returns for the job he had for 16 years.
Business as usual. You know, get the game plan. You know, start prepping from Philly. You know, going against a good defense, but also a defense we faced a number of years and know them well. And so just got to, just get back into the mix with the offensive line and receivers and make sure timing's where it needs to be.
Jet safety Jamal Adams, also with a high ankle sprain, unlikely to play Sunday against Miami. The game tonight is Dallas at Chicago. Both teams 6-6. For the Cowboys, that's still good enough for first place in the NFC East. The Nets in Atlanta had four players score 20 or more. They beat the Hawks 130-118. Hawks have lost 11 of 12. College basketball saw Iona lose by 18 at UConn. In the Big Ten ACC Challenge, Virginia, last year's national champs, lost by 29 at Purdue. Ohio State beat North Carolina. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. Futures turning higher this morning ahead of the open on Wall Street. S&P futures are up 12, almost 13 points now. Dow futures up 119. NASDAQ futures higher by 42 points. That is a gain of 0.5%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Open a JCF fund now to lock in a 2019 tax deduction. Visit jcfny.org.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by IBKR and CME Group. The new micro E-mini futures contracts are available at IBKR at the lowest commissions. Learn more at IBKR.com/CME Mini. U.S. stock index futures and European shares edging higher this morning after a mostly positive session in Asia as investors weigh the prospects of the U.S. removing a scheduled tariff hike on Chinese imports in 10 days. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 12 points, Dow futures up 112, NASDAQ futures up 39. The DAX in Germany is up 0.25%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 1.78%, yield on the 2-year 1.57%. NYMEX crude oil, little changed, up 5 cents at $58.48 a barrel. COMEX gold is little changed. It's at $14.80.10 an ounce. The euro, 1.1089 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3135, and the yen at 108.93. Etsy is down almost 4% this morning. It was downgraded to underweight from equal weight at Morgan Stanley, which forecast negative trends with the e-commerce company's gross merchandise sales. And we're watching shares of Apple. They're up about 0.7%. Citi raising the target on Apple to $300 from $250 a share. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. Two victims plus the gunmen are dead after a shooting on Naval Base Pearl Harbor in Hawaii. The gunman was part of a submarine crew. A trio of legal scholars argued at the first House Judiciary Committee impeachment hearing that President Trump's conduct was evidence of impeachable offenses. Republicans say the president did not violate his oath of office. Meanwhile, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she will make a statement at 9 a.m. Wall Street time about the status of the impeachment inquiry. In the NBA, the Nets won along with the Celtics. The Warriors lost. In the NHL, the Capitals won. And finally, the New York Mets are in talks to sell 80% of the team to billionaire Steve Cohen. Bloomberg Business of Sports co-host Scott Soschnick reports the deal being discussed would put Cohen in control of the team in 5 years and values the Mets at $2.6 billion. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 6:20 now on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's bring in Richard Jones now, FX and rate strategist for Bloomberg News, as we watch futures rise this morning on the prospects of those tariffs perhaps not being implemented on the December 15th deadline. Do you see that reflected in the bond market this morning, Richard?
Yeah, good morning, Nathan. Yeah, well, I think if I look at the price action that we've seen over the past couple of days, I think it can be best described as whiplash. I mean, over the past 36 to 48 hours, we've had like a 16 basis point high-low range in the U.S. 10-year yield. And we currently sit near the middle of that wide range. So I think in the short term, this tells me that the market isn't really sure what happens in the next 10 days, that the tariff decision could go either way. But if I take a sort of a bigger step back and look at that range over the past 3 or 4 months, let's say since the 1st of September, we're in a 1.4% to 2% range. We're near the top of that range. So I think net-net, the bond markets are still thinking that we do get a phase one trade deal announced and that those tariffs will be avoided.
So where do you see that range going depending on the tariffs being, if not completely removed, at least delayed?
Well, I think the bigger surprise now, given that we've been close to a phase one trade deal for like over a month now, I think is if new tariffs are imposed on China, if that happens, I think we get a major bond rally. And in the 10-year space, we get very easily back down to that September low of just above 1.4%. But if a phase one trade deal is reached, given how long the lead time has been and that the market's expectations are already embedded in prices across bonds, equities, and other asset classes, I think we could revisit the recent high just under 2% seen last month, but not much higher than that for Treasury yields.
What do you see moving the bond market when it comes to the trade story? Is it the negotiations themselves or is it the rhetoric?
I think over the past couple of days, if it's shown us anything, it's that yields have moved on both rhetoric and on actual reports of the negotiations. I guess the interesting thing for me is given how sharp the moves were on President Trump's comments on Tuesday, the reaction to it, like a no deal result, would be the bigger move, especially if that leads to further tariffs.
What could this mean for the dollar as we go forward? We've seen a few days of weakness in the dollar. Do you see that continuing depending on how things go on trade?
Well, if trade tensions persist, I think the dollar's role as a haven will probably see it continue to grind higher. I mean, I think the dollar probably goes lower against the Japanese yen and the Swiss franc and those sort of what I would describe as ultra-haven currencies. But the dollar probably does better against the other majors if these trade tensions persist. If not, then I think there's probably upside for some of the other major currencies other than the yen and Swiss versus the dollar.
Do you still see the dollar as a haven currency? We've heard from a number of analysts who are sort of vacillating on whether that's the case.
I think it still is. I think you've got a bit of a pecking order when it comes to havens and non-havens. I think, as I said, I think the Japanese yen and the Swiss franc are the ultra havens, but I think the dollar is not very far behind them as a haven currency where people flock to in difficult times. And I don't, given the dollar's dominance in global trade and in so many different facets, I don't think the dollar's role as a haven will be diminished anytime soon.
About a minute left here. We've talked before about pound volatility as we get closer to the December 12th election in the UK and certainly seeing a move on the pound once again this morning. Is the currency market pricing in a conservative victory at this point?
Yeah, I think what's happening is that the pound's already started its post-election rally, and I think the FX market is growing increasingly confident that the Conservatives will win a majority and that the new parliament will quickly pass the withdrawal agreement to get Brexit done. So as such, I think the pound is getting close to its very, very first stiff resistance versus the dollar at about 132. And it's about 130, 135 now. So there's already a lot priced in. I think in the near term, the pound is exhibiting classic buy the rumor, sell the fact price action. If the Conservatives win the election next week, we could see a sterling sell-off when the expectation of the victory is actually confirmed.
Always good having you on, Richard. Thanks so much. Richard Jones covers FX and rates for us on the Bloomberg Markets Live team. You can read much more from Bloomberg and the rest of MLive. Just type MLIV Go on the Bloomberg terminal. And taking a look at the fixed income market right now, the 10-year Treasury is down 2/32, yield 1.78%, 2-year 1.57%. The British pound at 131.35 against the dollar. The euro 1.1090. That's some euro strengthening. And the yen is at 108.92. Futures pointing to a higher open on Wall Street this morning. This is Bloomberg. Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high return income producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Trade optimism is lifting U.S. futures once again a day after the S&P 500 gained 0.6%. A scheduled tariff hike on Chinese imports is just 10 days away. And China says officials are in, quote, close contact with U.S. counterparts on trade negotiations.
We have news on the world's largest e-commerce company. Bloomberg News has learned a probe into Amazon is widening to include one of its most profitable businesses. We get details from Bloomberg's Denise Pellegrini.
Sources say antitrust enforcers are now broadening their scrutiny of Amazon beyond its retail operations and into its massive cloud computing business. Investigators at the Federal Trade Commission have been asking software companies about their practices around the unit. Amazon's AWS dominates the market for foundational cloud computing technology, and Amazon's operations are several times bigger than the next largest competitor, which is Microsoft. Denise Pellegrini, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Denise, thank you. On the M&A front, Bloomberg News has learned that Kering has held exploratory talks with Italian skiwear maker Moncler. Kering owns Gucci and Saint Laurent, while Moncler makes high-end ski jackets.
Huawei Technologies is suing the FCC over a decision to ban federal subsidies for purchasing its equipment. The Chinese company says it wasn't accorded due process and was unfairly labeled a national security threat.
In Japan, Prime Minister Shinzo Abe announced stimulus measures today. The package amounts to nearly $240 billion of stimulus spread over the coming years. Here with more is Bloomberg's Brian Fowler in Tokyo.
The numbers are a little bit bigger than what the market was expecting. On the other hand, the actual fiscal injection will be quite a bit less than the headline number, less than half. Although Bloomberg Economics expects the fiscal stimulus to at least prevent a recession, probably not keep the economy from slowing next year as exporters continue to contend with the disruption from trade friction.
According to a draft of the stimulus package seen by Bloomberg, it should boost growth in the Japanese economy by about 1.4 percentage points.
Oil is holding steady after yesterday's more than 4% gain. We have fresh data showing tighter U.S. stockpiles while OPEC and its allies meet in Vienna. No word on whether they'll make additional cuts to output, but at the very least, they appear ready to extend current cuts. Checking prices now, West Texas Intermediate's up 0.2% or 11 cents to $58.53 a barrel. Brent is higher by 0.6% at $63.37.
And futures are higher. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg with S&P futures up 13 points, Dow futures up 121, and NASDAQ futures up 42. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. Here's Michael Barr with a check of what else is going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Two victims plus a gunman are dead after a shooting on Naval Base Pearl Harbor in Hawaii. The gunman was part of a submarine crew. Rear Admiral Robert Chadwick says the gunman shot Department of Defense civilian employees and then shot and killed himself.
I can confirm that there were three shooting victims. We have confirmed that two are deceased. One is in stable condition in a local hospital.
The motive for the shooting isn't clear. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren is defending her plan to raise taxes on the wealthiest Americans to pay for a slate of domestic programs. Bloomberg's Martin DeCarroll reports.
As one of the most liberal Democrats running for president, whose proposals would require trillions in tax revenues, Elizabeth Warren feels she has to remind voters,
I believe in capitalism.
But in a Bloomberg TV interview, she says markets without rules are theft. The U.S. economy, says Warren, works better for the rich and big corporations. Her solution's a 2% wealth tax on assets over $50 million.
Everybody's supposed to pay a fair share on taxes so we can reinvest it in opportunity.
Warren's proposed about $30 trillion in new taxes to pay for her spending plans. Most of her Democratic rivals are proposing far less. In Washington, Martin DeCaro, Bloomberg Daybreak.
A trio of legal scholars argued at the first House Judiciary Committee impeachment hearing that President Trump's unprecedented conduct was evidence of impeachable offenses. Judiciary Committee Chairman, New York Democratic Congressman Jerry Nadler, says the actions of President Trump in regards to his handling of Ukraine put himself above the nation.
President Trump placed his own personal and political interests above our national interests, above the security of our country, and most importantly, above our most precious right, the ability of each and every one of us to participate in fair elections, free of corruption.
Republican Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio says President Trump did not violate his oath of office, and the American people have had enough of investigation after investigation.
He didn't say, I would like you to do me a favor, though, because I have been through a lot. He said, I want you to do us a favor, though, because our country has been through a lot. You know what this call, when this call happened? Happened the day after Mueller was in front of this committee. Of course, our country was put through 2 years of this.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi will make a statement at 9 a.m. on the impeachment inquiry. Pirates boarded a fully loaded supertanker off the coast of Nigeria. 19 crew were kidnapped and remain missing. Global News 24 hours a day and on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. Coming up to 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashar.
Nathan, Steve Cohen grew up on Long Island, a big Mets fan. Looks like the hedge fund billionaire is going to become the owner of the team. He's already a minority owner, but a deal said to be close where Cohen, within the next 5 years, will gain an 80% interest in a team that has been valued at a baseball record $2.6 billion. Fred Wilpon has been a Mets owner since the early 1980s. At times, tight-fisted, Wilpon was a Bernie Madoff victim. He has not been exactly well-liked by Mets fans. As expected, Zach Wheeler has left the Mets, but they'll see him often. He signed with the Phillies, 5 years, $118 million. 2 months ago, Eli Manning lost the job he had for 16 years, but Monday night in Philadelphia, he is getting it back. The Giants' rookie quarterback, Daniel Jones, has a high ankle sprain, so Eli returns after what's been an adjustment to being the backup.
It is difficult, you know, especially when you've been the starter for so long and you're not really accustomed to, you know, preparing and not putting it to use in that sense. And so just having a lot of experience and you know, knowing the offense and knowing I could, you know, pop in there and be ready to go.
They'll try and help the Giants end an 8-game losing streak. The Jets will be without their best defensive player Sunday against Miami, Jamal Adams, also with a high ankle sprain. The Cowboys have been struggling, yet are somehow still in first place in the NFC East. They played tonight in Chicago. The Nets move back over 500, a 130-118 win in Atlanta. The Knicks are home tonight for Denver. College basketball, battle of top 10 teams. Ohio State beat North Carolina. Also, Purdue over 4th-ranked Virginia by 29. UConn won by 18 over Iona. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thanks, John. 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Consumer spending won't save U.S. economy. I'm Carl Smith, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Strong initial reports of Black Friday and Cyber Monday shopping have strengthened the notion that the U.S. consumer will continue to be the engine of growth for the American economy. However, consumer spending growth, like overall GDP growth, peaked in mid-2018 and has been slowly declining since. At its current level, consumer spending could only support roughly 60,000 jobs a month, far below the average pace over the last few years. The slowdown in the job market could dent consumer sentiment, leading to a further downward spiral. Unless some other sectors come to the rescue, the possibility of a recession will loom over 2020. I'm Carl Smith. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. Coming up today, we get U.S. economic data on jobless claims, factory orders, and the trade deficit. Let's get a preview now from Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
September's trade deficit in goods and services was the largest since April. October could show reversal. Preliminary data on merchandise trade registered the smallest gap in more than a year as imports dropped to a two-year low. Jobless claims, meantime, are forecast to show little change after retreating from a five-month high, and October factory orders are poised to rebound. Bloomberg customers can find a full list of economic indicators by typing EcoGo on the Bloomberg terminal. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Hi, right, Vinny. Thanks. On the earnings front, we're seeing shares of Slack Technologies up 3% in early trading. The company posted results that beat expectations while projecting sales in line with estimates. More from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
It signals that demand from large corporate clients will help fuel the software maker's growth. Chief Executive Officer Stuart Butterfield has sought to boost the number of paying customers for his company's workplace messaging and workflow software, versions of which can be used for free. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thanks. 6:39 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John
Tucker. In 2011,
Tucker.
Ishmael Wilson was employed at the Library of Congress. When he got word his department was being downsized, he figured it was time to start a recession-proof small business. That's when Fresh Dry Cleaners was born. To stand out from the pack, he abandoned the idea of using harmful cleaning solvents. To win customers green, he appeals to their sense of green.
We're an eco-friendly dry cleaning system. We don't use any harmful chemicals that would be harmful to the clothes or the environment. From start to finish, we have a five-point inspection process that we take that separates us from everyone else. We focus more on quality than quantity. So we are a boutique-style dry cleaners.
His first location was low rent, but no traffic. That first year generated only $9,000. Hard lesson learned. Fresh Dry Cleaners now has five locations in the Washington, D.C. area, and yes, they are cleaning up. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All right, John, thank you. This is Bloomberg. Just before 6:41 on Wall Street, Democrats hint at articles of impeachment after a hearing on the legal basis for the process. We check in next with Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Portfolio Analyst, powered by Interactive Brokers. Savvy investors use Portfolio Analyst to create a consolidated view of their finances and check the health of their complete financial portfolio. Sign up for free at PortfolioAnalyst.com. Futures are higher this morning. Let's go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And hey, good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are trading higher right now. Dow futures up 113 points. S&P's gained 12 and Nasdaq futures rise by 39. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.78%. Gold is little changed. And Shanghai rose 0.7% overnight. Well, European markets are also rising, led by gains in France. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, jobless claims and trade balance, and at 10 o'clock, factory orders and durable goods orders. After the bell last night, Slack boosted its revenue views and Restoration Hardware EPS beat estimates. And regarding earnings this morning, deal stock Tiffany reported 65 cents, missing estimates of 85. Also look for Kroger to report around 7:45 a.m. In other news, Costco's comp sales growth of 5.3% beat estimates. And in deal news, William Blair said that Alkalos may be worth $160 a share in its takeout. Wrapping things up, Nike was raised to buy Goldman Sachs. Facebook rated a new reduce at HSBC. Chewy raised to overweight at Morgan Stanley. And Discover Financial cut to neutral over at Nomura Instinet. Live from the First Rebecca News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, three leading legal scholars testified at a congressional House hearing that President Trump's attempts to have Ukraine investigate Democratic rivals are grounds for impeachment. Meanwhile, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi plans to make a statement on the status of the impeachment inquiry at 9 a.m. Wall Street time. Three people are dead, including the gunman, after a shooting at Pearl Harbor Shipyard. A third victim shot is in stable condition. Authorities say the gunman, a sailor, shot himself. The victims were civilian workers. In the NBA, the Nets won along with the Celtics. The Warriors lost. In the NHL, the Capitals won. The New York Mets are in talks to sell 80% of the team to billionaire Steve Cohen. Bloomberg Business of Sports co-host Scott Soschnick reports the deal being discussed would put Cohen in control of the team in 5 years and values the Mets at $2.6 billion. Finally, on Daybreak on the Bloomberg, pet owners in China are on track to spend nearly $29 billion on their furry friends this year, 19% more than in 2018. That's according to Gumin.com, a social network for people with pets. China has the world's largest dog and cat population of 188 million. Nathan, it is a stark cultural shift, considering keeping a dog was illegal in Beijing until the 1980s.
Now, you knew a law like that wasn't going to last, but you had me at social network for people with pets. I'm signing up now.
Let's see.
I'm going to go check that out.
They're so cute.
Yeah.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries, I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Woof. Thank you, Michael. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, we're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in the nation's capital include Amazon facing wider antitrust scrutiny over its cloud business, the Senate moving forward on a bill to punish China for its treatment of Uyghur Muslims, and Democrat Elizabeth Warren drafting a bill to reverse decades of so-called mega mergers. Also making news this morning, Democrats hinting at articles of impeachment following a House Judiciary Committee hearing focused on the legal basis for removing a president of the United States. Let's bring in Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. All right, so we heard from three legal experts who were called by the Democrats, one by the Republicans. What, if anything, changed?
Well, I think at the end of the day, what we heard very significantly at the end of the hearing was essentially Gerald Nadler, the chairman of the committee, declaring that, in his estimation, Trump had committed impeachable offenses. And so I think that sort of informally moves the inquiry sort of into a next phase where it definitely hints strongly at the idea of something that we've suspected for a while, but that the Judiciary Committee will go ahead and draft at some point articles of impeachment against the president.
And as we heard Michael report just a few moments ago, House Speaker Pelosi is going to be holding a news conference or making a statement at 9 o'clock Wall Street time on the status of the impeachment inquiry. What are you going to be listening for from the speaker this morning?
Well, so far, her office is not releasing any details. We've been in contact with them this morning since the notice of this planned statement went out. And so far, they're not, tipping their hand at all at what's going to be said. But I think that it raises questions about whether or not, the speaker is going to outline a timeline, a more concrete timeline for how this will proceed going forward. There's been some questions about whether or not it's going to be possible to get this done by the end of the year, which is something that Democrats had initially hoped would be possible. So I think certainly any indications of a formal timeline for proceeding with this, and certainly just on a basic level, if she says that there is an intention to draft articles of impeachment and that she's going to direct the Judiciary Committee to do that, or that the Judiciary panel will be doing that, obviously that in and of itself will be big news. And then also anything that we might hear about the substance of what those articles of impeachment might entail. I wouldn't necessarily expect that because Pelosi tends especially to defer to her committee chairman, so I don't think she'd want to get ahead of what Nadler and the Judiciary Committee does, but I think those are the sorts of things that people will be watching very closely for.
Well, it'll be very interesting to hear if indeed Pelosi does announce something of a timeline, because up to now the speaker has said there is no timeline and she's letting the committees do their work. Can we expect more from the committees at this point?
Well, certainly the committees are continuing their work. And I think that, again, the speaker has, through this whole process, really deferred, as you said, to the committees. And so also the intelligence panel, even though it has turned over its report to the Judiciary Committee, I would imagine the wheels would keep spinning in Adam Schiff's committee as well. And so certainly we do expect further steps from the Judiciary panel. I think, though, that the fact that Pelosi is planning to come out and say something today is significant, and we'll have to see what exactly she says and where that takes things.
All right. I want to get to the latest latest in the 2020 presidential race, including an interview that Democratic candidate Elizabeth Warren gave last night to Bloomberg Radio and Television. Of course, Michael Bloomberg, who owns those companies' parent company, Bloomberg LP, is also running. And Warren had a bit to say about that.
Yeah, so Elizabeth Warren essentially accused Michael Bloomberg of trying to buy the election. And this is with essentially because the former New York City mayor is spending billions of dollars in advertising. And so I think that this is in keeping with Warren's overall message. You know, she's someone who's not accepting large donations. She's, you know, going with small donors. She's always been very anti-corporation. And I think, again, it kind of highlights some of the differences between the candidates in the race. And so I think her comments are in that way not surprising. You know, it's interesting that she chose to focus on Mike Bloomberg, but I think that it is in part in keeping with the narrative and probably will appeal quite strongly to her base.
And to note that also billionaire Tom Steyer is in the race as well. But what has the Bloomberg campaign said about Warren's argument that he's buying the election?
Well, you know, I think that the argument, you know, the counter argument would be that that, you know, obviously to deny that that's the case and also to say that kind of to highlight the Bloomberg campaign's emphasis on, you know, eliminating and reducing income inequality. And so that's something I think that would run counter to at least answer somewhat Warren's message.
Finally, Democrats on Capitol Hill say that they are getting closer to a deal on USMCA. This is something that's been in discussions for quite some time.
Yeah, so it looks as though one of the chief Democratic negotiators said yesterday that they're at the 2.5-yard line. It sounds like one of the outstanding issues at this point is getting Mexico to sign off on some of the labor enforcement measures that Democrats are seeking. Now, that being said, I think the prospects of getting this all through the Congress, you know, by the end of the year are, you know, the odds are quite long, but, you know, it could still happen. I guess I'm remaining skeptical until they actually, you know, cross the finish line.
Yeah, with the calendar even tighter than it actually is for people who aren't on Capitol Hill. Bloomberg's Kathleen Hunter, thank you as always. Read more at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
Whiskey makers who rely on water, wood, and energy to distill their products are making a play for climate-conscious drinkers. Protecting trees has become a focal point for Seattle-based Westland Distillery, whose Garyana whiskey is aged in barrels made of a rare Pacific Northwest species known as Gary Oak. It's become a hit with aficionados because of its unique flavors, but as the company highlights in a video, it's struggled to find the wood it needs.
Sometimes it's literally the single odd tree that fell down in someone's yard. Everything is worth investigating.
While the company uses trees that have fallen naturally, it's joined with a conservationist organization to plant new trees throughout the state of Washington. Kentucky-based Maker's Mark is focusing its sustainability efforts on water. It owns and manages its own protected watershed, relying on the natural limestone of its lakes to filter its water and eliminating the need for piped-in water from a municipal source. It also repurposes spent grain for livestock feed. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. And futures are higher this morning. S&P futures up 11 points. Dow futures up 111 and NASDAQ futures up about 38. The 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 1.78%. And the yield on the 2-year, 1.57%, with NYMEX crude oil up 0.4% or 22 cents at $58.66 a barrel. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.